Okay, would you stand for the reading of God's word this evening? I'm not sure how we'll proceed from here, so this could be, maybe, the last time in our Bible study of your blessed life now, the Beatitudes. My wife and I were discussing this series this week, and I said, you know, one of the reasons I felt compelled for us to get into these Beatitudes is because so often, it seems odd, but so often churches and ministries and people get a long ways away from Jesus' teaching. It almost sounds foreign when you begin to tell folks what Jesus taught. There's a lot of teaching out there, but Jesus' teaching is the teaching we ought to pay particular attention to. Can you say amen? And so tonight we're going to look at verse 9, this beatitude, this blessed. And why don't you just read it in unison with me? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's try to read that one more time and have like 100% participation. That would sound good in this place. Let's read that, okay? Oh, you don't have anything to read. We're going to have to call the Gideons, get you folks some Bibles. Okay. Why don't everyone turn around for a second? I believe in solving problems. There it is. Can you see it? Let's read that in unison. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Tonight I just want to talk to us about peacemakers, not pacemakers. Peacemakers. Amen. Everybody say peacemakers. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. The message of Christmas as given by the angels was peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Have we ever seen further from it than we are right now? Peace on earth, goodwill? How much of that do you see? Peace on earth. You see, as we proceed tonight, we can't get away from the fact that true peace starts in the heart. You'll never arrive at peace in any other way if you don't start with the heart. But the interesting thing is we humans desire peace. At least we say we desire peace, but we sure love to fight. Don't we? Some of you might have had a little of that on your way to church in the car. Oh, we love peace. We want peace, but we love to fight. I hadn't thought of this in 100 years or so, but when I was in high school for a short period of time, I worked at a Chinese restaurant, and they hired these two college students that were brothers. And I'll never forget, they came in the door their first day of the week fighting, these brothers, just snarling at each other like two dogs snapping at one another. And, you know, to do their job, they'd have to go out, you know, and be real nice and smile at people out in the restaurant. But if they came back through the doors into the kitchen and they met each other in the kitchen, just immediately, they left that way. I'd never seen such fighting. And then I discovered something. I think they enjoyed it. You know, some folks enjoy fighting. If they don't enjoy fighting, they enjoy stirring up a fight. We're not talking about stirring up fights. We're talking about being peacemakers. So everyone except the jihadists, they say they desire peace. And yet here we go fighting. Look at the fighting. In the world, we have fighting among nations. In our nation, we have fighting among political parties. In our homes, we have, well, you fill in the blank. Sometimes the fighting's in our marriages. Sometimes the fighting is between parent and children. Sometimes the fighting even comes into our churches. Humans fight. That's why the Christmas message is so fitting. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let me just give you this one statistic here. Did you know if you take the last 4,000 years of human history, 4,000 years, and only 300 of those years were there no major world wars. Out of 4,000 years, 3,700 of those years, there's been some major world war. That's a lot of fighting. How many has read through the Bible? How many wars you read about in the Bible? Especially the Old Testament. One war after the other. You think of our time, from the halls of our government to the protests in our streets, to the debates in our politics, to the environment of our homes. It's all like one raunchy TV show where they bring people in. It's got grievances against one another, and they'll sit there and scream at each other for a little bit, and then they'll start throwing punches. I don't watch these kind of shows, but they start throwing punches, and they have to call security in to break. You know, we used to think it was raunchy TV shows, but pretty much everybody's looking like that now. In our world, no peace. But it's in this kind of world that God has called us to be peacemakers. I mean, Jesus is serious about this. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you a peacemaker? Did you know even a child can be a peacemaker? Teenager can be a peacemaker? Are you a peacemaker? Or are you one of those that likes to stir the pot? Are you a troublemaker? Now, I know that everybody, you know, sometimes everybody fits in one or two categories. I know everybody doesn't fit in the category of being a peacemaker or a troublemaker. Some folks don't have enough initiative to be either one. But in this world, we are called as God's children to be peacemakers. And if we're truly God's children, that will be something we'll take upon us. We want to be peacemakers. Now, I want us to understand this, because we can't proceed any further unless we get this. When we talk about being peacemakers, we got to visit the real issue and reason for fighting. I can make it really simple. You know why people fight? It's called sin. Sin is the reason there's fighting on every level. But let's just look how James says this. Look in James. You probably can't see it. You have to turn to your Bible or just listen very closely. James asks the question, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? And he answers it, come they not hence? They come of your lust that war in your members. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. He said, the reason there's fighting out there is because there's fighting in here. People have lust and desires. They're at odds even with themselves. And so we can boil it down to this. There's fighting in our world simply because of sin. Man is in rebellion against God because, you know, it's just simple. Man wants his way. I want my way. You want your way. And if everybody's wanting their own way, you're going to have a fight. But fighting has consequences. You know, sometimes when you're young, they make war glorious in books and movies, but war is not glorious. War is unspeakably horrible because the consequences of fighting, you've seen it, you've seen the pictures. Crops are burned, homes are bombed, bodies are injured, people walk around with missing limbs, families have funerals, all because of fightings. I might have painted a bleak picture, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we truly did have peace in the world? And into this kind of world, we are called to be the ones to bring peace. Let's look at this quickly tonight. What is peace? There's 400 references to peace in the Bible, and out of the 27 New Testament books, 26 of the New Testament books talk about peace. We could go into a lot of those things tonight. We're not going to. We've got to keep it very focused. If I said the original word for peace, eirene, you may not recognize it right at first, eirene, but have you ever heard of the name Irene? That Irene is the word that's translated peace. So if you know an Irene, that's what her name means. I hope it's a her, but if you know an Irene, her name is peace. Here's a mistake we often make, though, when we think of peace. We think of peace as just the absence of fighting, the absence of conflict. But in the Bible, peace is so much more than that. Peace is tranquility. Peace is safety. Peace is security. Peace is prosperity. You know, the Jews have had a custom for many, many, many centuries, millennium, that when they meet one another, they say shalom. And you know that means peace. But let's say that two Jews meet one another coming from opposite directions. They meet one another on the road, and so they say to each other, shalom. What are they saying? Are they saying, I hope you quit fighting? Is that what they're saying? No, when they say shalom, they say, I wish that everything about your life would be prosperous, that you would be saved, that your children would be well, that your home would be pleasant, that your work would be good. So this idea of peace, I mean, maybe you could paint a picture of this idyllic village where all the houses are in the best of shape and repair, and all got beautiful flowers out front, and the cupboards are full, and the kids aren't sick, and all the men's got good jobs, and all the women are beautiful, and you know, everything is just great. That's the idea of biblical peace. When you can rest assured because you feel safe and secure and provided for. See, ultimately, all fighting and its destructive consequences come from sin. So in the end, only by dealing with sin can there ever be peace. So aren't you glad that our God is a God of peace who sent His Son to be the Prince of Peace? And to deal with our sins and by salvation to give us peace is dealing with that sin. And I'm going to just skip ahead in long ways to simply to say true peace is when a soul is in harmony with God. That's peace. That's prosperity. That is safety and security. You know what peace is? How many members when the choir sings it? What does the choir sing? That's not peace. Okay, now it is. What does the choir sing? It is well with my soul. That's peace. If you could say, it is well with my soul, that's peace. And how does one of the verses begin? When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God can give you that security in Him? Oh, yes, it is a ceasing of fighting, but it's more than just not fighting. It's a security that comes from Him. And I'll tell you one thing. If you have two people who are both sincerely singing, it is well with my soul, they're not going to be fighting with each other. Right? Okay, that's what is peace. What is a peacemaker? Well, I've already told you several times that people like to fight. So what's a peacemaker? Is it just somebody that doesn't like to fight? Is that what a peacemaker is? I want to tell you, first of all, a peacemaker is not a pacifist. You know, we have pacifists that are against their convictions. They're against war. They're against fighting. And I don't think we can go there because there's much in Scripture that says that we are to defend our families and to defend our children. And there's a time, as horrible it is, that sometimes we have to fight so there can be peace. The liberal mentality cannot understand that, but sometimes there has to be a fight so there can be peace. Sometimes you have to run the enemy out. So to be a peacemaker isn't just to be a pacifist. It's not to be a tolerator. Some people say, well, let's keep the peace. Let's overlook it. Let's deny things are wrong. Let's sweep it under the rug. Let's accept everybody's sin. Let's just tolerate it so we can have peace. That's not a peacemaker. A peacemaker is not a pushover. Letting people push, run over you, walk over you. And this isn't a political statement, but it just is a good example. The kind of treaty that was made with Iran was a capitulation to the enemy, and they talked about it being a peace treaty. No, that wasn't a peace treaty. That was capitulating to the enemy. So it's not to be a pushover. How many knows that just today that we gave in to Russia and what they wanted to do with Syria? I don't know if you caught that, but we did. We just, and it was, and our Secretary of State said, you know, this is in the purposes of peace. That's not what a peacemaker is. What is a peacemaker? Well, let me tell you, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, the people had an understanding of what a peacemaker was. A peacemaker was an ambassador. It was an ambassador that had been given the job to negotiate peace between alienated parties. They're at odds with one another. They don't like each other. They're fighting. So a peacemaker had been given a commission. That's official. That makes it official. You are commissioned to be an ambassador to sit these two parties down and bring them together so that they can live in harmony. I told you that because Jesus is saying to us, if we're his people, we have been commissioned to bring people together in harmony. A little different word is used by Paul, but let me just read you a few scriptures. And again, you won't see them on the wall, so please listen carefully. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any person in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We rejoice in that. But look, the next verse. All things are of God, which hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That word reconcile means he has brought peace between us and him through Christ. And hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm talking to all of us, young people. If you're born again, not only did God bring us into peace with him, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, or the ministry of being peacemakers. Next verse, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We could preach here all night, we won't, but the world was at enmity with God, and God through Christ is bringing people into peace with him, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And here it is again, he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, or the word that makes peace. That's us. We're commissioned to share this word. And then verse 20, he says it right here, right out. He said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. It's official. You're commissioned. I'm commissioned. We're ambassadors of Christ as though God did beseech you by us. And we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's our message. Be reconciled. Be in harmony with God. So just very simply, a peacemaker, I know this is what you call a circular definition, is one that makes peace. You hear the word make? That takes effort. That takes work. You make peace. Many people would understand the term today, peace broker. You know, whenever we kids would get into it, I remember my dad quoting this beatitude over and over and over. We'd get in a fight. And my dad said, now, kids, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah. It takes a while for that to soak in. We're not to be fighting. We're to be making peace. In the church, we're to be peacemakers. If somebody's upset with somebody, bring peace. Bring reconciliation. Don't fan the flames. Amen. Instead of looking for something to disagree with, look for something you can agree with. Tell folks, look, here's the point. Whatever the disagreement is, we have far much more in common. And a peacemaker reminds folks of what we have in common. In the youth group, it's always this way. It'll never change. You can stir things up or you can be a peacemaker. Young people get into it. You can fan the flames or you can bring them together. Hey, wait a minute. We're Christians. We love each other. Come together in harmony. I want to make this point because I think it's so vital. How many knows that the ultimate peacemaker is God, and in particular, the Holy Spirit? What is one of the main fruit of the Spirit? Some feel like all the fruit of the Spirit are encompassed within. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate peacemaker. Let me tell you this. Isn't it also interesting? I know this is symbolic. Isn't it also interesting that the dove is the symbol both for the Holy Spirit and for peace? So let me tell you, let's be real with this. If I follow my flesh, if I go by my own carnal desires, I'm not going to be a peacemaker. I'm going to get into it with folks. But if I let the Holy Spirit move in my heart, in my mind, in my life, the Holy Spirit's about peace. I'll not only have peace in my heart, the Holy Spirit in me would allow me to be a peacemaker. So how can we make peace? How can we be peacemakers? Let me give you just three quick ways, and there's others, but let me give you three quick ways. If you want to be a peacemaker, if you want to have peace, number one, pray for it. I'm amazed how much this comes down to prayer. Pray for it. Let me give you a few scriptures. What about Psalm 122? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How many's really aggravated about some of these wars and the things that's being done? Pray for peace. And we give, as New Testaments, we're given an exhortation in 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I'd have to sit myself on the pew to say it, but it's real easy to get real irate at some public figures and government figures and let them have it. Or get aggravated at the situation and just go on a harangue, a tirade. But have we followed this exhortation to pray for them that we might have peace? So number one, we want peace, pray for it. Number two, purpose not to add to the conflict. I remember one time, Bible school of all places, someone really rubbed me the wrong way in public. And so he was in my face, and I was getting red, and I was getting angry. And it didn't help because one of our mutual friends walked up, looked around to see what was going on, and he started saying, "Hit him, Cliff! Go ahead, just hit him, Cliff!" That didn't help a lot. Don't add to the conflict. How do you not add to the conflict? Number one, watch your pride. You know, the Bible just boils it down. Look what it says in Proverbs 13. Only by pride cometh contention. Is that right? If you got a contention going on, it's because somebody's got pride? Number one, if you don't want to add to conflict, watch your pride. Secondly, watch your anger. Again, the Proverbs 15. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. You want to make peace? Don't add. Purpose not to add to the conflict. Watch your tongue. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, we cause conflict because we want things our way. We just have to say what we think. And others just have to see it our way or they're wrong. And therefore, that adds to the conflict rather than bringing peace. Let me give you the third way. So first of all, if we want to be peacemakers, pray for peace. And this is very simplified. But secondly, purpose not to add to the conflict. And thirdly, as we have been commissioned, proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You do this at school. You do this at work. You do this in your ministry. Amen. This world is longing for peace. And the only peace they're ever going to have is when they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've got that message to proclaim. It's true. It'll bring peace to hearts and homes. Right in here, before we come to a close, and just with one more question, I want to put a parenthetical thing in here. It seems contradictory, but did you know the God of peace also causes a lot of conflict? How does this fit in? Did you realize that? The God of peace causes conflict because sin is at war with God. Satan is at war with God. This world is at war with God. And everyone that chooses to rebel against God is at war. He is the God of peace, but they're at war with Him. And because of that, Jesus said, look what Jesus said. Think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Think about this. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. I thought Jesus came to bring peace. He did. But he brings peace to those that desire it. He brings peace to those that say yes to him. He brings peace to those that believe and accept the good news. But once a heart rebels against him, doesn't want him, that causes them to be at war with him. And it works that way. I mean, he comes to bring peace, But those that reject him fight against. That's why if you are in a home where people don't serve the Lord and you purpose to serve the Lord, there's going to be conflict in that home. They're going to come against you. It'll happen. You live for God at work. You're all about peace. You're a peacemaker. You preach the gospel of peace. But some guy's not going to like it at work. And many of you have experienced this, that people at work have come against you simply because you are a believer. It'll happen at school. He's a prince of peace, but some folks, they don't want peace. This doesn't mean we're not peacemakers. But being a peacemaker isn't to capitulate or to compromise. I love this. I don't know where it came from. I can't attribute it to anyone. But it says, the man of war throws stones, and the peacemaker picks them up and builds a bridge to him. Think about that. A man of war throws stones, but a peacemaker picks them up and builds a bridge to him. I thought of spending more time here. I want just three quick things. Very practically on being a peacemaker, don't take up a grievance that's not yours. Now, I know some folks can't defend themselves. I'm not talking about that. A child caught in abuse or abortion or this and that. But when folks are into it, don't take up their grievance. You know, I've learned a little bit through marriage counseling through the years, but if I just listen to the husband first, that wife, she's the worst woman in the world. But if I listen to the wife first, that husband is the worst husband in the world. Isn't that how it works? And we are not peacemakers when we listen to someone and we take up their grievance that we're not a part of. There's no way we can be a part of the solution. We're not involved in that. Don't take up a grievance. It's not. Secondly, don't take sides. I'm not talking about on truth. I'm talking about in infighting of grievances against it. You know, my dad, when I got called to preach, and I've told you this before, I got to hurry, but let me tell you this. He came back to my bedroom, and he said, oh, you got called to preach, huh? I said, yeah. He gave me a long list of scriptures. He said, memorize them. He said, number two, don't you take sides. He said, you stick with the Bible and don't take sides. Don't take sides. Don't take sides. He's not talking about taking sides on truth. He's talking about when people get into it, about different personal preferences and this and thing and that thing. To be a peacemaker, you don't take sides. And number three, you sure don't throw gasoline on the fire. How many's tried that and discovered that's a dangerous thing? When you're throwing gasoline on the fire, you're putting yourself in a place of danger. Actually, I'm quite successful at marriage counseling. They come in aggravated at each other. I bring them together. They leave both of them aggravated at me. When you try to throw gasoline on the fire, you're going to get burned as well. Last of all, in this beatitude, maybe you could say it with me one more time. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What is the blessing of being a peacemaker? Well, I've already shared tonight that God is the ultimate peacemaker. Therefore, if we are involved in making peace, then we are like God. We get this, and other people will get it. When we go about trying to bring about peace between folks, we're acting like God, and folks will say, you're like God. You must be his child. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. People recognize they have something. People recognize they're different. And they're different from the world because they're like God. They bring peace. When we try to bring peace in the home, peace in the church, peace in the world, folks will look at us and say, you know, they're like their father. They must be children of God. What do you, you know, we don't think of that very much, but really to be a child of God is to bear resemblance to our Father. Don't you want to resemble your Father? Would you love to be a peacemaker like He is? Let me give this one little kind of, whatever you want to call it, pastoral word. But we're entering even more into a heated political season. We really are. I know you're concerned. It's right to be concerned. I know you really care about this, and it's right. But could I say this? For the people in our world, at work, in school, maybe even around the table during these holidays, in all this political passion and disagreement, May we still, as a people of God, be seen as peacemakers. Okay? I know we're concerned. We need to be concerned. But may we still, in spite of whatever our passion and whatever our stance and whatever, let me just say, whoever our candidate, may we be, I'm not talking about a compromiser. There's a difference, okay? I'm talking about a peacemaker. Amen. And blessed are those. They shall be called the children of God. Would you come, music? I want to warn you this in conclusion. Did you know there's a risk to being a peacemaker? How many knows there's a risk? How many has ever had to step between two people that's fighting? Have you ever, I'm talking about the blows are raining. Have you ever been there and stepped in between? I had to do that a time or two as pastor, and I was thinking, they didn't tell us anything about this at Bible school. We never had a class on this. But have you ever seen that situation? They work it into some stories. Two guys are fist fighting. Somebody decides to be a peacemaker, and they step in between to break them up, and one of the guys throws a punch at the other fella and hits the one that stepped in between. Gives him a black eye. There's a risk of being a peacemaker. There is. But it's what we're called to do. We're called to be peacemakers. Amen. And it starts because the peacemaker has made peace in our hearts. Amen. Aren't you glad for peace? Amen. Could you stand across the building? Jesus, thank you for your sermon. Thank you for your words that you share. Lord, help us to leave here tonight determined in our hearts. Lord, that the peace of Christ is going to rule in our hearts. The peace of Christ is going to rule in our minds. And because of that, Lord, you're going to use us to bring peace to others around us. Lord, you've given us that commission, whoever we are tonight, whatever age, Lord, wherever we work. If we are believers, your children, you have commissioned us to be peacemakers. Oh, Lord, thank you that you have made peace in our hearts. Amen. Before we come and pray, would you just lift a hand and thank him that he makes peace in your heart? Amen. Just call him the peacemaker. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. That's our desire. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come and pray for peace. Could you do that? I want you to pray for some lost loved ones and pray that God would bring them at peace with himself. Maybe you even know of a situation, people at odds with one another. Pray for them. Pray for our country. Pray for the wars. Would you come? Let's pray for peace. Maybe we've never had an altar call like that before. Would you come and pray for peace tonight? That's where being a peacemaker begins. We pray for peace. We pray for peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be a peacemaker, Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you need peace tonight. You can come to the Lord. Hallelujah.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
He can bring peace to your heart.
With all life's frustrations, I